Welcome to the Love Letters to Poe podcast. I'm Sarah Crokel Smith, publisher and editor-in-chief, bringing you wonder and terror, romance and horror in this gothic fiction magazine. Each week, I'll be sharing a new gothic story or poem from the pages of Love Letters to Poe. You can find the original stories and poems, author interviews, your free copy of the magazine's inaugural issue, and much more at loveletterstopoe.com. Today's gothic story is titled The Speaking Skulls, read by the author Rhonda Eikamp. This story can be found in Volume 1, Issue 3 of Love Letters to Poe. I hope you enjoy this haunting tale.
Confined afterwards to my room in that house of light turned evil darkness, terror gripped me. Had I killed my uncle? What rage had lifted the heavy candlestick? I touched my skull beneath my curls. Was there not a bump of decency there beside the perverse bump? Was I this bone only? He'd had no right to say it. Escape my sole hope, I set to picking the bedroom lock. I was a woman, depraved. This would prove it. The hallway shadows confounded my resolve. There were others in this moldering house, and they had ears. The servant called Moth, more an elephant from his size, who had locked me in before returning to see to Uncle Henry. There was the guest, newly down from the capital, the illustrious name I recalled, Senator Nathan Beatty, with silvered hair, body sleek as a mountain lion, standing straight as if in invisible uniform, as Uncle Henry presented me to him so deferentially that first evening. My niece Talitha, sir. The hall conjured my uncle's image, and I moaned. The blood had seeped from beneath his head like a living thing. A door slammed in the house's nether regions. Hide, my imperfect skull screamed. Into the nearest room I slipped, but it was not deserted. A man I had never seen turned to stare. From that lowly physiognomy, I knew my error. You're the niece, he growled. You're the murderer. My uncle, renowned physician Henry Wortham, was a childhood memory become a stranger. On his doorstep that first evening, aghast at the decrepit state of the house I'd loved as a child, I thought him happy to take me in. I had nowhere, nothing, a wife fleeing fists. His guest, Senator Beatty, seemed understanding. It was over dinner that the shadow rose and grinned. But phrenology reveals the soul's prima mobilia, Talitha. Every faculty, every tendency is shown in those protrusions. The skulls speak. The fire flickered. My uncle was obsessed with this new science of skulls, the senator more so. Some scheme to identify criminals before their crime, refashion the penal system. The wrongness of it had chilled my blood, and I had argued with them. A man's head was not his soul. Phrenology is our future, dear niece, the way to betterment. You really must be measured, Senator Beatty remarked. Uncle Henry nodded, eyes hooded. Thus it was on that next evening that I found myself led by Giant Moth to a dim laboratory, where my uncle proceeded to lift my curls aside and determine by tapes and strange implements the hidden nature of my soul. Enlarged audacity. Cold iron against my scalp startled me, as I thought. The dinner conversation haunted me. Surely, Uncle, you cannot charge men with crimes before the commission. That imp is in all of us. It takes the circumstance. More measurements. Irascible, selfish, yes. We have before us a woman who would desert her lawful husband. I no longer knew his voice. Was it the influence of that obsessed senator, some miasma of the house? Charles is a monster, Uncle, I told him. He appeared oblivious. To answer your question, Dr. Gall's researchers in phrenology find a faculty of perverseness in those who have killed, which betrays itself above the os frontis, the bullety forehead. We presently harbor a murderer here in the house, in fact, his skull misshapen from birth. Strangled a man in rage. Moth, my senses whispered. Yet the servant had no bullet forehead. At my audacious glance, Moth tweaked his collar to hide bruises on his neck that I hadn't noticed before. Attacked by the murderer? What beast it must be that could lay hand on Moth. I started up, determined to be rid of it all, but Moth pressed me down. Uncle Henry spoke. We dispose of them, you see. Remove them for the good of society. He could not mean what I thought. It was evil too great to bear. My mind could not birth it. Beatty's very keen on it. Brings me those he can commandeer. When the measurements prove out, and they do, Moth takes care of them for us. Flee, my every nerve cried. Just one more measurement, dear. Oh, then his gasp confirmed my pounding fear as iron brushed the back of my head. Not that bump on you? When he came round to confront me, his gaze was dead. The shadows of this house, of his horrid science, had his soul, for it was not there. The bump of utter depravity. First do no harm, I pleaded, praying to wake that oath in him. He clucked. I'm sorry, Talitha. Society must be bettered. As he turned to moth, my hands found the brass candlestick and swung. The shock of his copious blood rendered me horrified long enough for frantic moth to lock me away. Yes, said the stranger before me, I killed a man. It was he, of the bullety forehead, yet I felt nothing but cool calm. Malformed of skull he was, this murderer, but the eyes bespoke kindness. Reuben Nye, he introduced himself. I'm afraid I'm a member of your club, Mr. Nye. Not a genteel club. I've assuredly killed my uncle. Good. He smiled wryly, which did wonders for his face. Justified, I presume. Mine was. The man I killed had mistreated a woman of the night, a good woman, and she died. My rage was justified. The jury didn't see it that way. Beatty promised to save me from hanging if I would commit myself to his scientific endeavors. From below us came more shouts. Moth or the senator? Mine's obsessed. Through the moonlit window past Nye, I glimpsed the morose hills, gray bumps of vegetation that should have been green. Some execration held this place in its maw and shook it. Upon occasion, the house would shudder. I'd noticed it several times. We stood atop a great skull, those rough bumps testament to its evil. They planned to execute us, Mr. Nye. I know. Incomprehensible. This house was full of light once. I cannot believe what I've done. Did some evil move my hand? I had asked the dark only, but Nye answered. Vitativeness. Love of life, the good doctor explained it to me. Sounds eminently desirable, but it's animalistic. Causes a rage for survival. He touched the back of his head near the neck. Here, somewhere. The door flew open. Of course they'd found us. Vitativeness was not my first thought when Moth wheeled in Uncle Henry. Henry's bandaged head held a concave spot, still oozing red, gumming the wheelchair's rim, his face gray as the hills. I'm not so easily done in, niece. Behind Uncle Henry came Beatty, with a glinting staghorn knife he handed to Moth. Ah, Senator, as you see, Henry touched his bandage, I've discovered another disposable. My niece, unfortunately. I always said my brother married a woman lacking in our faculties. Beatty only stared at him. Your presumption of immunity amazes me, Wortham. He indicated the bandage. Look to your own faculties. I began to grasp the depth of the senator's perverse convictions. There, your faculty of ideality, wholly crushed. Don't be ridiculous, Beatty. I still have the idea of myself. Upon Henry's uncomprehending gaze, pity gripped me in spite of myself. Beatty shrugged. The skull speaks. You are reduced to an animal, Wortham. Upon his nonchalant gesture, Moth stepped to my uncle, who cried out, No! The demise of hope is a terrible thing to witness. Henry's scream, just before Moth slit his neck, drove me past all sense. Beatty deigned to notice my terror. His small science was just a start, you know. I've discovered one much more admirable, more powerful. How do the two of you like my handiwork? He indicated Moth. I recalled the bruising on the serpent's neck. He was hanged for his crime, but I brought him back. From the dead? Beatty was insane, delusional. When I have enough for an army, I'll wake them all. He gestured and Moth advanced on me. You cannot do this, Nye shouted. They can, Mr. Nye, I told him. I am nothing. Yet he understood my glance. Rapport, it has ever been so with my beloved Reuben since that fateful night. Not surrender, a signal. We attacked together, Reuben wresting the knife from Moth with alarming skill and applying it to his ribs. At the same moment, I hurled myself at Beatty. All Beatty's cunning hadn't prepared him for a woman's vitativeness. My fingernails found his eyes, and then I was fleeing, Reuben close behind me. Downward into shadow. All the outer doors were locked. We ended at a root cellar, stumbling blind across dark, rock-strewn ground until Reuben struck a match. Skeletons! Skulls, the lovely and misshapen there together, we walked on the bones of those they'd executed. Reuben's face mirrored abhorrence equal to mine. The match went out. Above, Beatty emitted a lupine howl, an incantation. I felt then in those bones that slippage that had oft caused the house to shudder. They were waking, and they were ever so angry, but not at us. Ahead lay light, dawn through the chinks of an outer door, escaped from that hell house, and we scrambled toward it.
If you enjoyed this work of fiction, please show your love by leaving a review. Never miss another story or poem by visiting loveletterstopoe.com/join. And if you want the party to continue, I invite you to Prince Prospero's Masquerade over at patreon.com/loveletterstopoe. Until next time, embrace what lurks in the shadows. You never know what gothic adventure lay within.